Welcome to the analyst room at My Pay Advisor. Let us set the scene here. It is 2026. You have just switched payment processors?
Yeah, you signed a new deal, set up the terminals, everything looks great.
Right. And then, 3 weeks later, a final invoice lands on your desk for $55,000.
Just for the privilege of leaving.
Exactly. I mean, if you are an operator for a U.S. merchant processing between $25,000 and $5 million in monthly volume, well, this is your reality right now.
It really is.
We're looking at a 4-year contract doing about $200,000 in monthly volume. And that regularly produces an exit bill between $25,000 and $55,000.
It is, you know, it is just a staggering number. And it catches so many operators completely off guard. We are your lead payments advisor and analyst team. And our mission for this deep dive is to build your 2026 playbook for exit fees and contract cancellation.
Right. Because we're not here to just complain about the cost of doing business.
No, totally. We are here to execute a defensive strategy to protect your bottom line.
To do that, we have a really serious stack of sources feeding this strategy today. We are pulling directly for the 2026 exit fees and contract cancellation playbook. We also have rule documentation straight from Visa.
Yeah, and we are bringing in payment system research from the Federal Reserve and the very latest data from the Nilson report.
Right. So before any operator can successfully fight a massive exit bill, you really have to understand exactly how the processor constructs that invoice.
You do, because this is not just arbitrary math. It is a highly calculated formula. There are three separate components that make up a standard exit fee.
So we need to break down the anatomy of that final invoice. Let's walk through them.
Sure.
First, you have the flat early termination fee. This is, you know, the straightforward part. It typically ranges from $250 to $895.
Yeah, that is the easy part. Second, you have the equipment lease buyout. And third, the most dangerous part of the invoice is the liquidated damages clause.
That liquidated damages clause, I mean, that is the hidden engine of the exit fee.
It really is. It is designed to estimate and recover the processor's lost profit over the remaining life of your contract.
Right.
The formula generally looks like this. They take the number of months remaining on your contract, multiply that by your average monthly processing fees, and then multiply that total by a recovery factor.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because that recovery factor is the true kicker here. And not all processors use the same multiplier.
They definitely do not. The recovery factor varies wildly by processor and by the, you know, the vintage of your contract.
Like when you signed it.
Exactly. For example, legacy Heartland contracts historically used a much lower factor. But if you look at legacy First Data contracts, the ones that are now under Fiserv.
Oh, yeah.
Those often sit closer to a 75% recovery factor, meaning they want to collect 75% of the gross processing fees they would have made if you had stayed until the very end of your term.
We really need to put this into perspective using the latest Nilson report data. In 2025, the total credit and debit card fees paid by merchants reached a staggering $198 billion.
Billion with a B.
Right. When you look at a revenue pool that massive, it completely explains why processors enforce these multi-year auto-renewing contracts.
Yeah, they want to protect that revenue.
Exactly. And the Federal Reserve actually tracks this lock-in effect closely. They note how a majority of U.S. card volume flows through a small set of acquirers who enforce these exact terms.
But, you know, the math can still feel baffling to a business owner.
It totally does.
Yeah.
I mean, if the flat early termination fee is like a standard parking ticket, the liquidated damages clause is like the city impounding your car and then charging you for the lost parking meter revenue for the rest of the year.
That is a great way to put it.
Wait, why do processors have the actual authority to just pull tens of thousands of dollars from a business checking account? Is Visa mandating this?
That is a very common misconception. Visa has published rules that dictate interchange reimbursement fees. Those act as transfer fees between banks.
Okay.
But Visa rules do not mandate cancellation penalties for merchants.
So if Visa only sets the interchange rates between banks, they aren't the ones telling my processor to charge me 50 grand.
Not at all. Your processor's right to calculate that penalty and debit your account is purely contractual. It is written directly into the merchant services agreement you signed during onboarding.
Right.
You agreed to the formula, and you granted them the automated clearinghouse, or ACH, debit authority to collect it.
Knowing how that math works leads us directly to identifying the specific operational failures that trigger these massive calculations.
Yes.
We need to group these failures because processors have built, well, essentially a sequence of traps to catch you as you try to leave.
They really have. Let's start with the contractual landmines. The first one is the missed auto renewal.
Oh, this one gets everybody.
It does. Most merchant agreements have a 3-year initial term. But buried in the fine print is a clause stating that the contract will automatically renew for 12 more months. Unless, of course, you provide written notice within a very specific window.
Usually that window is 30 to 90 days before the current term ends.
Yes.
Right. So if you miss that 90-day window by a single week, you just bought yourself a fresh 12-month contract.
Yep.
And that resets your full liquidated damages exposure.
Yeah.
You end up facing a penalty for a contract year you never even actively agreed to renew.
Precisely. And the second contractual trap involves those zombie equipment leases.
Zombie leases.
Yeah. Many operators just don't realize they signed two separate documents during onboarding. You sign one with the processor for the transaction volume, and then a completely separate equipment lease with a third party.
Companies like Northern Leasing or Lease Finance Group.
Yes. And those leases survive the processor switch. You close your merchant account, but that separate lease remains intact. So suddenly you are generating $80 to $150 in monthly payments for terminals you are not even using anymore.
And the sources mentioned these are heavily litigated in New York state courts. But why New York?
Because these leasing companies intentionally incorporate there. They explicitly write New York jurisdiction clauses right into the fine print.
Oh, I see.
They know it is incredibly difficult and expensive for a merchant in California or Texas to fight a lawsuit in a New York court over a $100 monthly terminal fee.
That is pretty predatory. But I mean, it makes contractual sense from their side. Now let's move from the fine print traps to the retaliatory traps.
Right.
These happen right at the finish line when the processor realizes you are actually leaving. They can hold a rolling reserve, sometimes up to $50,000,
yeah,
for 180 days after you cancel.
Yeah, that is trap number three.
And on top of that, trap number four, they trigger a PCI non-compliance fee on the final bill, usually between $19.95 and $49.95, claiming your self-assessment questionnaire is missing.
It looks completely punitive. And honestly, sometimes processors use it exactly that way, but their legal cover for the reserve hold comes down to the lag in the chargeback cycle.
How so?
Well, consumers have up to 180 days to dispute a transaction. Even though you are not processing new sales with the old provider, a customer could initiate a chargeback today for a transaction you ran 5 months ago.
Right, that makes sense.
So if you have already closed your bank account, the processor is on the hook for that money. The reserve hold is just their insurance policy.
Okay, I understand the chargeback risk. But what about the PCI non-compliance fee? Why does my questionnaire suddenly go missing the exact week I cancel my contract?
Because the moment you submit your cancellation notice, the processor shuts down your access to the merchant portal. You physically cannot log in to update your self-assessment questionnaire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Then they ding you $50 for missing the document. They literally prevented you from filing.
That is infuriating. And that brings us to the final, and really the most dangerous, trap. Bounced ACH pulls.
Trap number five.
The processor's final invoice often arrives 10 to 30 days after you close your account. By then, you have likely moved your operating funds to the new processor's settlement account.
Naturally.
So if the old processor attempts to pull their $50,000 exit fee and the account balance is low, that ACH pull bounces. So if I just empty that account, the processor isn't going to just send a polite follow-up email. They're going to retaliate.
They will. The old processor can place your business on the MTCH list. That stands for Member Alert to Control High-Risk Merchants.
That ATCH list.
Yeah. It is essentially an industry block list.
And how long does that listing last?
5 years. And it follows the principal owner across different businesses based on your social security number.
That is terrifying.
It is. If you are on the MTCH list, future processor onboarding becomes incredibly difficult, if not totally impossible. This is why we always instruct operators to pay under protest rather than risk a bounced payment.
Right, because a $50,000 dispute is bad, but a 5-year industry blacklist is a business ender. This forces you, the operator, to run a very strict numbers-based cost-benefit analysis before signing with a new processor. You can't just switch because you are angry at your current provider's customer service.
No, you have to do the math.
So we need to walk through a specific case study from our sources to show how this math actually plays out in the real world.
Let's do it. Let's look at a regional auto repair chain. They have 4 locations doing $420,000 in monthly volume.
Okay.
Their average ticket size is $385. They are currently on a first data legacy contract at a 2.94% effective rate.
And let's say they have 5 months remaining on that contract. We need to calculate the exact exit bill based on the playbook we just discussed.
Right. First step.
First, we find the monthly processing fees. $420,000 multiplied by 2.94% gives us about $12,300 in fees every single month.
Since they have 5 months remaining, we multiply that monthly fee by five. That gives us roughly $61,700 in remaining fees.
Got it.
Now we apply the recovery factor. For this legacy contract, it is 70%. 70% of $61,700 gives you just over $43,000. That right there is your liquidated damages number.
But we aren't done.
Not yet.
We have to add the flat early termination fee, which is $495. Then there is the equipment lease balance for three point-of-sale terminals. That comes to $4,860.
Right.
Finally, we add a final PCI non-compliance fee of about $40. Add it all up and you are staring at an exit bill of just under $49,000.
Almost 50 grand just to walk away 5 months early.
Right. But we also have to calculate the opportunity cost here. If they move to a new processor offering a 2.35% effective rate, they will save roughly $2,400 every single month.
That is a solid savings.
So what does this all mean for the timeline? If they only have 5 months left on the old contract, logic says they should just wait it out, finish the 5 months, and avoid the $49,000 penalty entirely.
It seems logical to wait, yes. But this is where you have to do the operator math. The break-even point on paying the full exit fee versus waiting is 19.6 months. You divide the total exit cost by your new monthly savings.
Okay, almost 20 months.
However, there is a second layer to this strategy that our sources highly recommend.
Negotiation.
Exactly. Our data shows that operators rarely pay the full initial invoice if they execute a proper defense.
That is good to hear.
Yeah, if this auto repair merchant negotiates a 50% waiver on the liquidated damages by threatening a state attorney general complaint, the total exit bill drops to about $27,000.
Wait, why does a processor care about a state attorney general complaint?
Because an attorney general isn't just looking at one contract dispute. They look for systemic deceptive practices across the board.
Oh, I see.
Processors want to avoid regulatory scrutiny on their liquidated damages formulas at all costs. So a credible threat of a formal complaint often brings them to the settlement table pretty fast.
And that changes the math completely. With a $27,000 exit bill, the break-even point falls to just 10.9 months.
Exactly.
If this merchant plans to stay with the new processor for at least 2 years, making an immediate switch and paying the negotiated penalty is highly profitable. Waiting actually costs them more in lost savings over a 24-month horizon.
Because the math often favors switching early, the merchant needs a rigid operational playbook to secure those waivers and stop unauthorized debits.
Right. You can't just send an angry email and hope for the best.
No. We need to outline the critical execution steps for the 2026 defense playbook.
Step one is foundational. Pull your merchant services agreement and find the exact formula. Search the document for the terms liquidated damages, early termination, and auto renewal.
But if you can't find the document and the processor stalls or refuses to send it, what is the play?
Good question. Most state uniform commercial code, or UCC, provisions require the processor to deliver a copy within 30 days of your request.
Oh, really?
Yes. You have legal backing to get your own contract. Don't let an account manager tell you they don't have access to it.
That is a huge tip. So step two is identifying your waiver levers. We mentioned negotiating a 50% reduction. How does an operator actually force the processor to the table?
You have to identify where the processor failed in their own contractual duties. There are three primary waiver levers operators must look for.
Okay.
First, cite a missed auto renewal notice. Did they actually send you the required warning before rolling you into a new term?
Probably not.
Exactly. Second, look for a failed price hold. Did they promise a locked rate in writing and then quietly raise it? And third, look for a midterm fee schedule update.
Now, processors update their fee schedules all the time. Wait, why does a simple fee increase give me a get-out-of-jail-free card? Does it legally void the original contract?
It can. Changing the fee schedule alters the fundamental economics of the deal you initially agreed to. Under UCC good faith provisions, making a material change to the cost structure mid-contract gives you a very strong legal argument that you should be allowed to exit without penalty.
That is an amazing tool for operators.
It really is. Step three is locking down the paper trail. Our sources emphasize that you must submit your cancellation notice via certified mail with a return receipt requested.
Certified mail.
Yes. You send it to the legal address listed in the contract. Emailing your local sales rep or account manager does not satisfy the legal notice requirements.
Right, because email can be claimed as routed to spam by their automated systems. A time-stamped receipt from the Postal Service is your only undeniable proof of delivery.
Exactly.
But even with a perfect paper trail, there is a mechanical danger.
And this is a massive flaw in the system. Even if the operator sends the certified mail, identifies a midterm fee increase, and formally disputes the exit fee, the processor's automated billing system is still going to try and drain $50,000 from the checking account.
This is automatic.
Right. This requires the banking defense.
Operators must issue a written ACH revocation directly to their own bank, explicitly revoking the processor's debit authority.
But timing is crucial here.
It is. This revocation must be effective the day after the contract officially ends.
So I just call my commercial banker and say, hey, put a stop payment on this, like I would for a gym membership.
That is the exact assumption that ruins operators. You do not have the same protections.
Oh.
A gym membership is a consumer transaction protected by Regulation E, but business-to-business banking is governed by UCC Article 4A.
Meaning the bank assumes I am a sophisticated operator who authorized this transaction.
Exactly. You signed a commercial agreement granting them ACH debit authority. You can't rely on consumer protections to fix a commercial dispute.
So what do you do?
You have to use a formal, written, stop payment and revocation process through your commercial banking representative. It is the only shield you have against an automated clearinghouse drain.
This is why it is so important to look at the Federal Reserve payment system research we included in today's stack. The infrastructure of commercial payments is built for pure transaction efficiency, not for merchant dispute resolution.
No, not at all.
Once the money is gone, fighting to get it back from a major processor is an absolute nightmare.
Which is why you have to build the wall at your own bank before the final invoice is ever generated.
We have covered a lot of vital ground today. We looked at the exact math behind liquidated damages. We exposed the five major traps, from zombie equipment leases in New York courts to the terrifying MTCH list.
We ran the break-even calculation on that auto repair chain.
And we laid out the steps to secure a waiver and protect your bank account. Let's summarize your immediate homework for this week. What should you do right now?
Your mission for this week is straightforward. First, pull your current processing contract. Don't wait until you actually want to leave. Read it today.
Good advice.
Second, locate your auto renewal window. Put a reminder on your calendar for 90 days before that window opens. Third, run the exact liquidated damages math based on your current volume. Know your financial exposure down to the dollar.
And finally, if you are in the middle of a switch right now, hold off on finalizing the new processor onboarding until your cancellation is completely confirmed. Dual billing, where both the old and new processor are charging you simultaneously, is a headache you do not want to manage.
Document everything. Every phone call, every notice. The party with the best paper trail usually wins the negotiation.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. We talked about the Nielsen Report data showing that major processors collected $198 billion in merchant fees in a single year.
A massive number.
Right. We also just spent this entire time detailing the obscure liquidated damages formulas, the hidden auto renewals, and the aggressive collection tactics these companies use to lock merchants into their ecosystem.
Yeah.
If major processors must rely on obscure liquidated damages formulas and automatic renewals to protect their share of a $198 billion fee pool, what does that reveal about the true competitive value of the technology they are actually selling? Think about that the next time you get a pitch for a fancy new point-of-sale system. Thanks for joining us in the analyst room today. See you on the next deep dive.